Well, what a crowd. Good morning. Good to see y'all. That's good Texan howdy, right? I'm actually a plant breeder, so I'm not an economist or a marketing guy, but I work with these marketing economist guys like Charlie Hall and the other group in the College Station, and I'm going to present some work that Daniel Chavez, a graduate student in agricultural economics, working with Marco Palma, is doing sort of in collaboration with me on the roses. And just a little background, rose industry, we're really talking about the shrub rose industry, the garden rose industry, about $200 million annual industry, economic impact somewhere is around $750 million. And the market is really driven by new varieties, and a lot of active breeding going on, and so it's always nice to know what the consumer wants. Breeders think they know, and so marketing guys say, well, maybe we should try to double check this. And that's fair enough. And so Daniel went into some of these experiments to try to figure out willingness to pay using consumers they recruited and eye tracking and using discrete choice experiments. And this is a way you can put multiple combinations together and have them choose between pairs of combinations. And they design the pairs in a way so they can sort of extract all the individual things as well. So you get a choice, and what we had six attributes to look at. We had bloom size, which a lot of the nursery people said, well, people only want large blooms. I said, okay, fair enough. Heat sensitivity, drought sensitivity, disease resistance, all very important things from my point of view, because my emphasis is adaptation, okay, from a breeding point of view. And then foliage coverage, how full is that plant? And we had, again, generally two choices in all these things. And then, of course, they wanted to say, well, what would you pay for this? So would you pay this price? So they assigned a price to these combinations. And we had 12 choice combinations. Okay, and so in a choice, you have two rose bushes that you see on a screen. Each bush is associated with a series of traits as well that are written. So you see visually the plant and then their traits. And of course, we're tracking what your eyes do at all times. So we're trying to figure out what you're actually thinking too. And so this is what the person sees on the computer screen. Okay, pretty straightforward. Two choices. In this case, you have price up front, $10 versus $15, either a large or small bloom, heat sensitive, heat tolerant, drought sensitive or drought tolerant, and both were disease resistant in this choice, and then how much foliage you had on it as well. And so you look at that and say, well, which do I want? So that's pretty straightforward. Or you could say, I don't want either. So you have that choice as well. And so they're in a situation like this. This is a picture of the lab they work in, where the new lab, the old lab didn't have as many stations. But the new lab has a lot of stations, so we can do a lot of this type of work. And, of course, looking at the eyes, you're trying to look at attention span for one. And then you can look at visual behavior, emotional impact of some of the pictures, reading behavior, cognitive processes. So you can study a lot of things by looking at the eye motions. And they can track your eyes as you go along. And to give an example, I don't know, let me see. We have there's a mouse. Okay, this is, give you an example of what the eyes do for one person. So you're looking at where they're going, and the size of those circles will be how long they're staying in each place. And this is all done in microseconds, and of course it goes pretty quick when they make their decisions. And so all the data is going to be in microseconds as well. And so this is what you get. You get a heat map of where things, what people, how long they looked at various things, red being the longest and the green being the least. So, and somehow they put this into some sort of program and come out with magic, right? And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting. Of course, you always take demographic information, do a numeracy skill test and a cognitive reflection test. And really, that's important because it's going to be separating the attentive versus the non-attentive people who are taking this test, and previous work has indicated that they respond differently. And we'll look at how that sort of comes out. So that tends to be fairly important as you look at this. Now, the experimental population is really important, too. Who's actually answering all these questions? And I think we had about 150 responses here. But we're in the southern USA. It's hot and humid climate, so therefore heat tolerance, drought tolerance is very important. It's humid, so disease resistance is very important. So those are why we put those adaptation traits in there. They were recruited by newspaper, advertisement, mass emails. Note that these are not students. So we're getting people outside the university, even though the experiments are done at the university. They did receive an incentive, $20 for their efforts. Mean age, fairly young, 34. 65% Caucasian, 65% women, and mean income about $65,000. So give you an idea of what the experimental population was. And so if you look at the eye tracking, and now again, the numbers here are in milliseconds. You have two different, I have attentive versus non-attentive, and the first column would be time for first fixation, how long it took them to look at it and spend some time there, and then how much time they spent on each area of that screen. And you can see here, the subjects look at the attributes on the screen that first focus on drought tolerance. Okay, that's interesting. And the last focus was on disease tolerance, which was disappointing to me because I think that's the most important thing around. All right, well, you know, the eye tracking doesn't lie, right? And I said, well, they must have looked at disease tolerance more. No, they looked at least. So I didn't understand this. I figured, oh, well, eye tracking doesn't have anything to do with anything anymore, right? So time looked at each attribute. You can see that they spent a lot of time looking at the rose bush, which makes sense. Quite a bit of time looking at drought tolerance and heat tolerance, the words, okay? And so that's interesting. If you look at attentive versus not attentive, it's about the same for each with respect to eye tracking, really. Now, that they started looking at things a little later, but basically it's the same trends as I can see it. You look at valuation, willingness to pay. And so remember, every choice had a price to it. And so they had to choose which ones and at what price. Now, both groups valued the adaptation traits more than they did the plant traits. Okay, so heat tolerance, disease tolerance, and drought tolerance. You can see here the valuations for both groups are fairly high. There we go. I can't hardly see from this angle, so I'll just read from here. But you can see the heat tolerance, about $15 for the attentive and $15 or so for the non-attentive. Drought tolerance about in the $10 range as willingness to pay. And disease tolerance in the $12, $13 range. So that was impressive to me, so I guess, well, maybe I'm doing something right. With respect to leaf coverage or plant fullness and large blooms, for the attentive, it was about $5. For the non-attentive, it wasn't different from zero. Okay, so that's the difference. But in any case, for both of them, the adaptation traits were the highest. Okay, so that was kind of interesting. And if you look at the distribution of responses, this is for bloom size, for willingness to pay. You see the attentive subjects, you have sort of a more or less normal distribution with there's a peak in the middle, what have you. For the non-attentive subjects, it's all over the place. Now, from a statistical point of view, the variance is so different, you really can't put them all in one big group. So you do have to separate them, if for no other reason for that. But so they do respond differently from various points of view. So in conclusion, if you look at a hot humid climate, and I like to emphasize this because if you go up to Minnesota, heat tolerance is probably not going to be terribly important. So when I started talking to Marco and Daniel about this, we said, well, yeah, we got to do it in other areas too to really get a better idea of where the emphasis should be. But in any ways, you know, your heat tolerance and disease resistance, your willingness to pay was in the $12 to $15 range, which to me sounds high. And Charlie can respond to that if he wants to. Drought tolerance, $9 to $10 range. And foliage coverage, when you look at the attentive people and bloom size, it's $5 to $6 range. And so you're in there. The attribute interest was not always related to the willingness to pay, as you saw in the disease resistance. It was looked at last and least amount of time. Why? I don't understand that, and I can have further discussions on that to try to explain that. But so that was very interesting, too. But again, attentive versus non-attentive participants, they respond differently, and so you really can't combine. You have to separate out those types of respondents and try to get a better idea how to look at that way. Let me see. Of course, I worked with the Human Behavior Lab with Marco Palma, and Charlie Hall's involved in that, and done a lot of interesting work there. And of course, I'm a breeder. I work with the Texas A&M Breeding Program, and I want to acknowledge all the people and organizations that help support this work. And if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them. Yes, ma'am.
What are the questions you use to differentiate attentive from non-attentive?
Hopefully, Charlie can answer that. Yeah, I don't know the specific questions because I didn't ask that question before I prepared, but that's essential. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
What was preference in the car with this?
Because we had to pick five traits. Because that's the other important one that we need to look at. So there's various things. Our main emphasis was the adaptation traits and a few others just to see how they compare. The fragrance would be one that I would anticipate. In previous surveys we've done, the most important trait from a breeding point of view, people want new varieties, is disease resistance. Fragrance was second. Okay? So, yeah. There was about 150 participants, as far as I remember, and about half and half. Half for attentive, half for non-attentive.
So you have a machine to check their eyes?
Yes.
Okay.
So if it's...
How much does that cost?
How much does that cost, Charlie?
A lot of money.
A lot of money. $4,000 for the eye tracking?
Yes. But then the software to analyze it.
Yeah.
That's where the real
money is. So you have the physical $4,000 for the software, which is additional money. So it can get kind of expensive. But it produces a lot of data that's interesting.
It's been over 28,000 initially.
28,000?
For
the first three machines?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. I guess I'm on time.